I want to start off today looking at a passage that we've looked before. Actually, I think earlier this year, we looked at this briefly. And if you've been around Emmanuel Fellowship for a long time, you'll know that it's probably one of my favorite verses or passages. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7. And let's just start off by reading part of the story. Then Elisha said, starting in verse 1, "Listen to the word of the Lord." Maybe before I even do that, maybe I should give a little bit of background. At this time, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. One was the kingdom of Judah, and the capital was Jerusalem. And the northern kingdom was the kingdom of Israel, and its capital was the capital of Samaria. It was the city of Samaria. And the city of Samaria was under siege for months, and they were surrounded by armies on all sides, and there was a severe famine in the city. In fact, because of that, prices were sky high. It talks about that, you know, like a cab of dove's dung went for 5 shekels of silver. A donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. And there are even parents that were talking about eating their children. You know, that's how severe this was. But Elijah was a prophet. And he says in verse 1, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And they thought, this guy's kind of lost his mind. He's crazy. The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, how could this thing be?" Then he said, "Behold, you shall see with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." And he said that because he was doubting the word of God. And you know, sometimes the word of God doesn't make a lot of sense. Sometimes it kind of promises something very magnificent. And it's easy to say, "Oh, that can never happen." And certainly there's a place, "Lord, I don't understand. Can you explain more?" But we should never have the attitude, "Oh, that's impossible. That can't happen." Because the word of the Lord came to this royal officer and said, "You'll see it with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat of it." Okay, so now the scene sort of shifts. Verse 3, "Now there are 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, 'Why do we sit here until we die? If we say, we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let's go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we'll live. And if they kill us, we will but die.'" And that kind of makes sense because everyone was dying. They go into the city, they're going to die. If they stay there, well, let's go into the enemy camp. Let's see what happens. You know, maybe they'll spare us, they'll probably kill us, but we're going to die anyway. That was their attitude. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and they fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the city, they entered one tent and ate and drank because they left all the food. And they carried with them their silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid. And then verse 9. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait into morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." Okay, let's kind of pause there. We'll come back in a few minutes. Last week, we talked about how the word of God is powerful. How when it goes out, it always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. And so is the message of life, or the words of eternal life, or the gospel. Those are the things that are really the heart of the Word of God. And those things are powerful. They're true. God's Word can penetrate even the hardest of hearts. God's Word can knock down the thickest of walls that people may put up. Cultural walls, intellectual walls, walls of education or age or race, emotional walls that sometimes people put up because of bad experiences. God's Word and nothing else but God's Word can just knock down those walls. Therefore, we can be and we must be confident to share freely and boldly the good news, because God's Word's powerful enough to break through all the walls and all the hardness of heart that people come. And we need to know that, because God's Word is powerful. Several things to keep in mind, however, things that the enemy tries to confuse us with. First, we need to know that people have been created by God, right? And they therefore are seeking truth. Now, it may not be evident at first glance, but deep down inside, everyone is longing for truth. It may not be constant. There may be times in people's lives that they're so distracted with other things that they don't have that longing. But at some point in their life, usually many points in their life, they have this longing for truth. With some, it's more obvious. Others, not so obvious. People are longing for truth in spite of the facades that they put up. A facade. You know what a facade is, don't you? It's a mask that we put up. You know, oh yeah, I'm doing great. I'm happy. You know, life is wonderful. We can put that mask on, can't we? But maybe deep down, we're struggling inside. We're discontent. We're disappointed with life. Be careful not to rule people out. It's easy for Christians to kind of think, oh, they would make a great Christian. Or, she will never become a Christian. Or, I could never see him giving his life to the Lord. We got to be careful, because you don't know what's happening in people's hearts. Someone once said, this is back in the 3rd century, that all people have been created with a spiritual vacuum in their hearts that can only be filled with a relationship with the Lord. People may chase after all sorts of things to attempt to fill that void, an attempt to be happy or to satisfy that deep longing within them. They pursue wealth. They pursue career. You know, something that makes them feel good. They pursue relationships. Maybe it's a wife or a husband, or if only I had kids, or I need a new husband, or I need more friends, they pursue relationships. They pursue power. People pursue education. Sometimes people pursue travel. In Summit County, a lot of people pursue health and fitness. You know, leisure. Now, a lot of these things, they're not wrong in themselves. But if that's our goal, and if we think they're going to satisfy us deep down, we are sadly mistaken. Nothing satisfies us except for a living relationship with God. And all these other things will fail us at some point. We may get sick. We may be faced with death. Maybe someone we love, maybe ourselves. Disappointment in relationships. Maybe some unexplainable financial reversal in our lives. Now, why is it important to know this? It's important because if we have a mentality, well, they're really happy, they're content, they're not really going to be interested in the Lord, then we could be deceived into not reaching out to those people. We need to realize that everybody is looking for something deep down. They may not know it's God, but they are looking. Now, it's also true that there can be a spiritual veil over people's eyes. In fact, that's what the scripture says. And, it covers their eyes, and therefore they can't really see things that are maybe obvious to us. And many of us, we've kind of seen that. We've been talking to someone. We've been explaining what it means to follow the Lord and how wonderful the Lord is. And it just seems to what? Go in one ear and out the other. It's just like, yeah, well, that sounds kind of interesting, but I don't get it. What's happening? There's a veil over their eyes. But we've been given access to the power of God through something called prayer. And there's power in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says that God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's plan. And God has instructed us to pray for people. Because praying for people releases the power of God in their life. Prayer is needed to open or to tear away that veil, to break through the walls that are keeping people from hearing God's voice. And so it's very important. In fact, one of the most important things that any of us can do is to pray for people. You could say it's probably our most important ministry as individuals and as a church. And the beautiful thing about it, it doesn't matter if you're 3 days old in the Lord or you're 50 years old in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you are 8 years old or if you're 80 years old. You can pray for people. It doesn't matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter if you have a job where you never get to see anybody. We all can pray for people, that the spiritual blinders would be taken off. The Holy Spirit is really the one that prepares a heart to receive Christ. Prayer has a big role. God is ready to work in many lives, most lives. It's up to us through prayer to invite God to do so. I mean, just think about this. God's word is powerful. There's a desire inside of every person to know the truth. And God has given us something called prayer to invite God to kind of move in supernaturally, tear off the veils. If you add all that up, it means that we have no excuse not to share freely and boldly the message of life. But that's not all. The Holy Spirit also empowers us to be His witnesses. Acts 1, verse 8. I know this is a common verse for a lot of us, but let's look at it again. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and He says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. If Jesus was talking to us, which I think he is, he would probably say it this way. Emmanuel Fellowship, if you rely on the Holy Spirit that I've given you, you will be my witnesses in Frisco and Summit County and all over Colorado and even to the remotest part of the earth. You know what it means to be a witness? I kind of like that word. A witness means you declare what you have seen and heard and experienced. And that's what we're to do. We're simply to proclaim what God has done in our lives. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit anoints it. Matthew 10, 19 and 20. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it's not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." You know, a lot of us, we kind of think, yeah, I'd like to talk to this person. I'd like to be a witness, but I'm not sure really what to say. And what if they ask me about this? What if they start asking me hard questions? How do I respond? What if they get kind of angry and really get kind of nasty with me? We have a promise of Jesus that the Holy Spirit who is in us when we give our life to the Lord will now give us the boldness, and he'll also give us the words to say. And yes, there's a need to study God's word, but we'll never be able to prepare for every conversation that we get into. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, when we give our lives to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. Later, we ask God to fill us or to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. He works inside of us. But he also works to make us witnesses of the kingdom of God. He gives us his heart for people, which is so necessary for the work that he's called us to. He gives us compassion for people. He gives us supernatural understanding into what people are going through and need. Remember Jesus when he was talking to that woman at the well? He knew God had given him understanding into what was going on in that woman's life. And so as we are witnesses, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to give us a compassion, to give us an understanding of what they're going through. Now, they could come across as not very interested at all in the Lord. They could come across almost antagonistic. But you know what? God will give us the patience. He'll give us the forbearance to bear with them and to really, what is going on inside this person? He'll give us the right words to speak out. We've already talked about that at that moment. He'll give us love and compassion, even for sinners, those who are hard to love. See, Jesus had all these qualities, didn't he? He loved people. And if you put love of people, and then you add to that the powerful word of God, and you add to that the Holy Spirit, and then you add to that prayer, and you add to the, you know, add all those things up, what does it result in? Hearts being open. Hearts being open to the Lord. So I want to encourage us to have confidence that God wants to use all of us to be witnesses. Take an interest in people, a genuine interest. It's part of loving people. Pray for people. If you pray for people, God will start opening up doors. If we don't have that type of compassion for people and love, we'll come across as hard, hollow, obnoxious. And sadly, the reputation of God's people, that is the reputation a lot of God's people have with many people, not everybody, with many people. So let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 7. Let's draw some comparisons. In some ways, you could say we're like those four lepers. How's that? Well, we don't have much to offer in ourselves, just like those lepers. They didn't have much to offer, did they? In fact, sometimes they were despised by other people. Sometimes as Christians, we're despised by others. Also, the lepers accidentally found all this treasure. They didn't really plan it, did they? And the same thing with us. We found the treasure of God's word. We found the treasure of eternal life. Not because we were so smart. Not because we were so wonderful. Not because we're so great. Right? It was God. God just led us into it. You know? And just like for them, the same thing for us. We sort of happened to come into it. We were at the right place at the right time. In fact, if you start looking at your story of how you came to know the Lord, it was obviously God, right? You just happened to meet the right people, and the right people came in your life. They maybe invite you to church. Maybe they did this, they did that. And you add it all up, and all of a sudden, and someone was probably praying for you, your eyes were open, you thought, yeah, this is what I've been looking for. That's the way it was with us. And that's kind of the way it was with these lepers. Now, verse 9, it says, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. That really applies to us. Today is a day of good news. And by the way, does the world need good news in this world today? Certainly it does. We're not doing right by keeping silent. And then it says, I like this. It says, let us go and tell. And that's what they concluded with. Let us go and start telling people about this good news. Let me tell you the rest of the story. The lepers did return to the gate, and they were excited. They were saying, listen, something happened. You know, we don't know what happened, but the whole army's gone. They left their horses. They left all their food. They left silver and gold, and they left everything. How do you think people responded? You can read it yourself a little bit later. Some said, can't trust these guys. They're lepers. This is a trap. You know, they're being silent. That's why we haven't heard anything today from the army. They're being silent. They want us to go out. And then what are they going to do? They're just going to jump on us, and they're going to kill us all. And but there are some people who are saying, you know what? We don't have anything to lose. We're going to die here. Let's at least go and see if this might be true. And that's the way a lot of people in the world are. They may think, I don't know if I believe these guys or not. But maybe I should at least listen for a little bit. Because what if it is true? And that's exactly what happened. And all of a sudden, there was a stampede of people because they're hungry. And all of a sudden, there's free food right down the road. They all started going out. And you know that royal officer that was skeptical? He saw that all of a sudden, a thing of barley, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, you know, but he did not eat it because you know what happened? In the stampede, he got run over and he lost his life. You know. So anyway, you can kind of read the rest of the story. It's kind of a fascinating story. But one thing we can see is the word of God is true. When God says something, it's going to come about. exactly in this case as the prophet said. In our case, exactly as the Word of God. And the Word of God says to us, we've been given everything, a message to tell. People's hearts are, there's something, they've been created with a longing for the truth. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given prayer. We've been given the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give us the right words. That's the promise of God's Word. So therefore, all we need to do is let us go and tell. And God will do the rest. But I'm a little bit scared. Well, that's part of the life of faith, isn't it? We step out in faith. And that's what God's calling us to do. Starting this week, the holidays are here. Thanksgiving. And then before we know it, it's Christmas and the New Year's. And I've observed in my life that in this season, probably more than any other season, people are looking for peace. They're looking for joy. They're looking for a sense of, I'm here for a purpose. What really matters? For some people, this can be a great opportunity to reach out to people. Also, if you think about it, both Thanksgiving and Christmas both have their basis in the Lord, right? Christmas, obviously, the coming of our Savior. Now, I know it kind of, with presents and Christmas trees and all sorts of other things, a lot of people don't see it, but that really is the basis. And Thanksgiving, I know it's turkey and, you know, and football games and things like that, but really what was that about? Originally, it was thanking the Lord for the way He's taking care of us. And so you add that in, it makes it a good season to be reaching out to people. Colossians 4, verse 6. It's talking about having wisdom toward outsiders. And it says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let your speech always be with grace. Well, I tell you, that's a message in itself. 1 Peter 3:15. Always, there's that word again, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account. 1 Peter 3:15, to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. This coming week is Thanksgiving. Next Sunday, I usually talk about being thankful. And after that, we're into December. I'm not sure exactly what, but the theme may be something like joy to the world or something like that. But regardless, I think these next 5 or 6 weeks is a great opportunity to invite people to come to join us and hear the Word of God. People are waiting. Now, I want us to do something a little bit different as far as ending. I want each person to maybe get in groups of maybe 2 or 3, and I want you to pray for one another. And I want you to pray that you would, that we would have a, but I want you to actually pray, like, you know, Lord, I pray that you would give Judy a new confidence to share the message of life with others. I pray that she would have a new boldness to share. I pray that you would give her opportunities. Okay, so 3 things. A confidence, a boldness, and opportunities. So just the person next to you, or you can kind of, you know, somewhere near you, I want you to pray for them, okay? And prayer is just very, very simple. You just talk to God. and you ask him. This is a prayer that he wants to answer. So let's do that right now, okay? Here. And Lord, we ask, especially in the next 5 or 6 weeks, Lord, that you would open up opportunities for us to pray for people, for us to invite people to join us for a Sunday morning, for example, or the Christmas dinner or whatever. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would open up doors for us to talk about the message of life. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I haven't said anything about this for a while, but we do have these books. I think I have some English ones here too. I think next week we want to have more of these, but I would encourage you to buy some of these. It could be a great Christmas gift. It could be a great time to kind of, as you're praying for opportunities. I've got some here in Spanish with me right now. We have them in Spanish and in English. And French if you need them, but I think these are the two languages we need mostly. Okay? So let's go forth. Let's have a great time this week thanking the Lord. And again, let's be looking for opportunities. Amen? Amen.